This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I wish we could do drinking games, but for snacks.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we could, like...
You mean like an eating contest?
Yeah, but casual.
Oh, you just want to do chill eating contest.
You just want to eat Cheez-Its really fast?
You should hang with Joey Chestnut more. He probably does that for fun. He's the new...
Is that a real name?
Yes, he's the guy who just won the hot dog eating contest.
Why do you know his name?
Because he dethroned Kobayashi, who has been the guy for a while.
Mary Kobayashi?
Different person. I'm not... You're the weird one. You're the weird one. It's not me. I'm cool for knowing this.
Uh-huh.
Let's start it.
Okay.
I'm cool.
It's time for Punch the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's another episode of Punch Up the Jam.
I don't like that intro at all.
No? Should I do another one?
Let's try it again.
Whoa, Black Betty, Punch Up the Jam. It has a rhyme with jam. My mom is calling me. I'm going to hang up.
Pick it up, dude.
Too late.
Come on, man.
Welcome to Punch Up the Jam, where we don't talk to moms. I'm Demi.
I'm Miel. What do we do?
What do we do on Punch Up the Jam?
Uh-huh.
Well, a lot of times we sit around, we talk about a song. We go, this song is nuts. Mm-hmm. And then we explain why we said that. Because people will be like, well, why do you think it's nuts? And then we'll explain. They'll go, okay, well, how would you make it better? And then we show them how we'd make it better by making it better in the same episode at the very end of the episode.
It's a little magic.
It's a little magic. It's a lot of science.
It's a lot of time.
Yes. And a little bit of heart.
I'm so sorry.
That's staying in.
I wanted to get it out at the top. It was in there brewing.
I really wish that you had kept it in until like an hour in and then just like let out a huge burp that's just been snowballing.
Speaking of snowballing.
What?
I'm just kidding. I don't have a segue.
I was like, oh.
Speaking of snowballing as in success and fame.
Wow. Good one. Let's get into it.
You know him from his YouTube channel, Paint, where he does musical comedy parody. It's John
Kozai!
I can't believe you agreed to do this.
This is so cool. I didn't know I would get like a WWE intro.
Yeah, we should have asked before if you wanted the steam. That's an option.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really sorry I didn't warn you about the confetti cannon.
I know. I can hardly see y'all.
This giant man standing at the end of the hallway ready to fight you.
Oh, no. In the luchador mask?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Those masks also, he doesn't wash. So if he does get you, it's going to be stinky. So sorry about that.
Hey, that's a podcast, baby.
That is.
I'm so happy that you're here. Not only because I really like you, but also because your content is so similar to what we're trying to do here. Except that you do it with a video component that is equally, if not better, than the songs you write.
Oh, my.
I'm serious. If you've seen his videos, you know I'm not blowing smoke up his ass. It's true. You haven't seen them, huh?
I've seen one or two of them. I believe you had like a very viral Disney medley, I think, that I saw.
Yeah, that was from my sophomore year of college.
Oh, wow.
So that was like six years ago, something like that.
So you've been on this for a while.
I have been on it. Damn. I've been on it for a while. I'm glad you saw it. That's cool. And I'm glad you enjoy it. I don't know really.
Which is also funny because we went to the same college.
You did?
Oh, yeah, we did. At the same time.
We did.
So we should have, I should have like been like, oh, this guy's around.
I don't know. Different circles, I guess.
Yeah.
And
it's a big school.
It's like a Disney parody on YouTube. So it's like most college kids were not very impressed. But had I gone to a high school, I would have been mobbed.
Yeah.
It's just that it's the generational divide.
Also, I think if it were now, it would be cool. I mean, I'm not in college, but I feel like YouTube is now a cool thing across the board. Is that incorrect?
I don't know.
On college?
That's my general answer. I mean, on college, I think it's just like in terms of different circles. I'm sure like as a general thing, like, yes, YouTube is obviously cool. But I think there's some people who are still like, oh, it's this kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not me.
I'm curious, what was it that drew you originally to writing parody versions of songs or original compositions?
It was a like insatiable desire for fame and fortune. Literally, that was it. It was like when I started very young, I was making videos and stuff and putting them on MySpace video.
Oh my God, you did?
Yeah, like very young. Like too young where it's like you had to digitalize tapes in order to edit them on a computer.
So you were like 10.
Yeah, like middle school, like actual child when I got a camera and was desperate to make stuff. And then I figured out like what a YouTuber was pretty early on. That was like 2006 or something crazy.
Yeah, it's like a year after it started.
Yeah, yeah. And so people were, they started the partnership program where people were getting paid for it and all this other stuff. And my dad is like a, he's like a pastor who's very grounded and says like art has a purpose and that is to make money. So if
I love him.
Yeah.
He's creative and financially sound.
Oh, well, he's not the creative person. I was creative and he said this has a purpose. Like, you know, anyways, so he was like, make money.
Go on about your dad. Let's unpack this.
If you really want to know what motivates me, you have to go all the way back. And that's my childhood. That's it.
Everything we do is for our father's love.
Yeah, yeah, or mothers. Yeah.
And mostly fathers.
True.
Mostly dads, because they're more disappointed. Yeah. So
it's true.
Your mom's love is more unconditional, at least for mine. I know some people have moms that are mean.
I will say, if I'm like, I'm cold, there's a blanket on me. I don't even have to look. It's on me before I blink.
What sort of chicken soup for the soul is this? What
My
are
mom.
You saying? Oh, okay.
Did I not say that part?
No, you just said, I will say, if I'm cold, there's a blanket on me. And
this
I was just like,
I reveal I'm like a magic person.
It felt like you were trying to say like, and when there was only one set of footsteps, it was there that I walked with my mother. I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
I mean, makes sense now.
Okay, yeah. Okay, sorry. Woo. I don't know what's going on with me.
Oh,
today.
We're talking about moms and dads.
Yeah, I do appreciate you telling us that. Yes. I'm just so curious what gets people into parody, because it is such a specific type of creation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like your brain just has to work in a certain way.
Yeah, it's like writing songs, but way easier, because you just change the words. Somebody already did all the heavy lifting, and they tell you where the rhymes are.
That's
all you have
true.
To do is change the words. It's really not songwriting at all.
And depending on the parody, you can just be like, well, I know the story, so I know where it starts and ends, and I'll just fill in the blanks.
See, but here's the thing. It's half songwriting, because if you changed the music, you just wrote a song.
Literally, and that's what a lot of musicians do. They write like fantasy fan fiction albums of their favorite artists,
yeah.
And then they end up making a band.
Yeah.
A lot of bands start as cover bands, or you start as a cover artist on YouTube, and then you start writing your own music.
It's so true.
I made a joke the other day, but this is probably true. Someone was like, what's some good creative writing advice? And I said, just write an episode of Seinfeld and change every little bit of it until it's no longer Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
That's that same thing of like, if you make a parody of something and then you just change the music as well, you just made something new.
Yeah, like my songwriting teacher had us rewrite Penny Lane. Exactly line lengths and rhyme scheme to just be about our own hometowns.
Yeah.
And I was like, we just changed music. I just wrote a cool hometown song.
Sure did.
Yeah. I can make the national anthem for the island.
Do it.
That doesn't make sense. Well, it's okay.
Is your island not a nation?
Could be. If I have my way. Anyway, John, what made you pick 1,000 Miles?
I've been writing this musical about love, and I've been looking into like pop piano hits of the 90s and 2000s. And I caught on to Vanessa Carlton's, is that it?
Yeah.
Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles like a year ago, and I was sleeping on it until then.
Wait, I'm sorry. You're saying you just discovered the song 1 year ago?
I've like heard it at like the roller rink in middle school, but I hadn't really listened to it critically or like on my own. It just popped up.
Sorry, continue.
Well,
can you hear
until
my
a year
jaw
ago.
On the floor?
I mean, when I say my dad was a pastor, he was. Like, I was like cut off from a lot of pop culture, and I didn't listen to music. My first mixtape, I was like, half of it was like Nickelodeon theme songs, and that's not a lie. Like,
I mean,
even the Wild Thornberries, like,
oh my God,
it's just crazy. I listened to gospel, Josh Groban, some Charlotte Church.
I thought you were going to say Good Charlotte. I was like, yes, my sister.
No.
You were about to be like, I should become a pastor.
No, Charlotte Church, I remember her.
Yeah,
I could see her being popular with your demographic at that time.
Absolutely beautiful, gorgeous, stunning voice.
God, I can't believe you got into music considering.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I'm still just really struggling to wrap my head around the fact that you hadn't really sat down and listened to 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton until last year.
It feels like a song that has inundated me since it came out. There's not been a month that I have not heard this song, that I've been alive since this song came out, I believe.
Yes, and it came out in 2002. It is 16 years of this song. It is heard I mean, if you started keeping track, you'll be like, oh, I heard it in the supermarket. Oh, I heard it at the hair salon. Oh, I heard it at the yoga studio. Oh, I heard it on the radio. Literally.
There was a time where the CW and WB just used it for all of their promos. So it would just be like, this fall in the CW.
No,
and that plays
way
in my head every time. And it's a nightmare.
But is it, though? Because it is. It's so funny you found it under piano pop songs. Because I think this is probably the most notable piano-driven pop song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that first, the intro is so iconic.
So iconic. And it has the craziest story I found out today. Okay, so Vanessa Carlton initially wrote that in 1998. So she was like 17 years old. And she was playing and her mom overheard it and she goes, what's that? That's a hit.
No way. She's like,
I'm going to save this one. And I guess it was completely unrecognizable from the song we all know is 1,000 Miles Now. She just kept trying to find a way to make it work. She like recorded it on demos. She sent it to all these people. No one wanted it. She was calling it Interlude. That was the title. The lyrics, I think, were the same. I think they ended up being the final that she wrote like 10 years prior.
You can tell.
Or 5 years prior. Yeah, well, we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
So when it was still called Interlude, she sent it to Ron Fair, who was the head of A&M Records, and they met for a piano session to kind of tweak the arrangement. So they added all these time signatures, which if you try to pay attention, it's changing constantly throughout this song. It is crazy town. But they also, like, changed the timing, and they added the orchestra. They really were like, how do we turn this into something? Because right now it's kind of random and could never be successful as, like, a pop hit. So the decision was very conscious to, like, make the piano the focus. And all the record execs were like, this is never going to work. And she was like, I don't know. Finally, they were like, if we market her as, like, the alternative, this is so anti-woman, as the alternative to, like, the dumb girls who like Britney and Christina, but she's, like, for smart girls, then, like, people will love it.
It feels exactly like what they did.
Yeah, they made her wear, like, red wristbands in the video just to kind of, like, set her aside. I don't know. It's very strange.
I remember the video being, like, her on a piano, it's moving through the city.
Yes, it's moving all around, and it's real. It's not a green screen. It's actually kind of a cool video.
It's a cool video.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in ages, but that image sticks in my head.
Yeah, well, it was iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ron Fair ended up saying the song is like a mini musical of its own, and I really actually believe that if you pay attention to the music element of it. Carlton really wanted it to be called Interlude, but Fair wouldn't let her. And eventually they settled on 1,000 Miles. But if you check it out where the song first appeared, which was the Legally Blonde soundtrack, it's still called 1,000 Miles parentheses Interlude. Because they couldn't get it straight. Everywhere else it's 1,000 Miles.
Now I'm just trying to think where it is in Legally Blonde.
I don't know which scene. I couldn't place it.
I can only place that song at the beginning, Perfect Day.
It's a perfect day. I love that song,
it's
man.
A great song. Great movie.
Okay, last things I'll say about the song. You'll notice that the instrumentation on this is so good.
It's insane.
And it's because the session players they used are huge. Playing bass is Leland Sklar, aka Father Time. Not making that up. That is his nickname in the industry.
AKA Father Time.
AKA Father
Time. You know him as Father Time.
Give him an intro.
Why do they call him Father Time?
Because he looks like Father Time.
Oh, I thought it was like, he's got the best rhythm I've ever... This guy can play 4-4 like no one's business.
He has 4 on the floor like you're going to slip on it. No, he looks 1,000 years old. He plays the bass for people like James Taylor, Toto, Carole King, Lisa Loeb, Michael Jackson, Hall & Oates, Donna Summer, Crosby, Stills & Nash, Diana Ross, Leonard Cohen, Dolly Parton. I mean, the list of people he's played with is infinite. And then the drums is Abe Laboriel Jr., who has been Paul McCartney's drummer for like 20 years.
Ringo?
It's Ringo!
What a weird name. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so if you pay attention to the bass and drums in the song, like, it is wild how much they make this song.
And it like, we've covered a few other pop hits from around this era or like a few years before and after. And I feel like the big thing that I hate about them is they don't build. They just kind of copy and paste the instrumentation. This one builds in every single part and has like little flourishes where it's like, oh, there's a loud violin now.
Yeah, and it actually is an orchestra.
Yeah.
It's not fake.
Insane.
I think that's the producer just being like, we're going to make this into something. Like, he really Frankensteined it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm blown away and I'm super excited to listen to it because I unapologetically love this song.
It's so good.
I cannot love this song. It is
what?
It is impossible for me to even objectively look at this song because I can only think of the time there. I again have not gone a month of my life since this song came out without hearing it. It was constantly the song that, like, through school, kids would see a piano and just like start playing. People did it at the talent show every year, and I was always just like, This is everywhere. I don't want to hear it this much.
Okay, then you might like this other version I had you grab.
Yes.
It's recent. Do you guys know Mac DeMarco?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I really like Mac DeMarco. He's like the kind of hipsters that look like they eat cigarettes for breakfast. That's Mac DeMarco's vibe. Oof. And he's been touring and playing his version of 1,000 Miles. I think you grabbed a little clip.
I sure did. Hurry, this one gets me.
Googling that because the video is so funny. And throughout, he's the whole song. Oh, that's all he says. Make my way downtown.
Does he do the full song?
Oh, he does even longer because he keeps having his band go way slower and then go way fast and then go way slower.
Wow.
It's worth a watch.
I gotta see it.
I'd recommend it.
Oh my gosh. Still a bop. Still a
bop. I know. That's what I'm saying. It like transcends genre.
It does.
But I don't think I could listen to it. Of just like if it came up on a playlist, I think I would have to skip it.
I think you've heard it too many times, but maybe after this, listening to it critically, you'll hear it in a new way.
I don't think so.
Well, let's try.
Yeah.
There she is. It feels good.
It does feel, at least I'm like, there's a technical sense to this where I'm like, it's obviously good. I just...
But it doesn't, the emotion... You don't feel like you're walking into a meadow and everything's calm and it's golden hour and there's like little fireflies.
I absolutely do. But I'm like, this is the image I've seen for 16 years now. I want a new fucking image for this song. It feels like Narnia.
Yeah. We just stumbled through the wardrobe.
Yeah.
Is that Mr. Tumnus?
Sure is. Right over there on the keys, tickling those ivories. I don't know what voice Mr. Tumnus has. Is it something like this? I haven't seen Narnia.
No, you mean the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh my god, Demi.
That's crazy.
You probably read them a lot with your background,
I read
huh?
them a lot. I saw the movies a lot. I was obsessed with the movies.
Because it's all like a big religious allegory.
Yeah.
I had the poster in my room.
Oh my god, John.
Yeah, like a lot. I was really into Narnia. And also the soundtrack to that is beautiful.
Who did it? It's like Hans Zimmer or somebody?
No, it was no.
Also,
it was
Tilda.
Harry Gregson Williams.
Ooh.
You actually know the name.
Yeah, and he collaborated with somebody else, and I forgot that guy's name. So I'm kind of.
You've already impressed me so much.
There we go.
Some guy.
Bernie Taupin.
Yeah.
The lyric writer for Elton John.
Uh huh.
He's writing
all of the hits.
There's no lyrics in the song.
He got an easy gig.
No, John, it's just mixed really low. If you listen, it's like, Mr.
Saturday.
Okay, I gotta hear.
You gotta
Marissa
hear
Carlton's
those words.
Insane tone right now.
Yeah.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound.
There's that bass.
Yeah, there it is.
Staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the
This being okay, the Ooh. Lyrics of that part are. Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the crowd.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting from this is she's making her way downtown.
That's all she's saying.
Doing. That's what she's doing.
She's making her way where? Downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And she said homebound, so now I'm like, you live downtown.
Yeah. It's like,
City
okay,
girl.
Going home.
But actually, she also said, why? Making my way downtown.
Making
she's not
my
really
way
saying,
downtown.
What?
Making my way.
It's going between the most nasally voice and then the most breathy voice.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out where the two shall meet.
Here's a question. Does she sound like someone to you?
Oh, no.
What?
I know you're setting yourself up for something you're about to show.
I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I'm going to Weezer you again?
God, if you show fucking Weezer right now,
I'm
so annoyed.
I'm not gonna... I don't have Weezer!
To me, she sounds kind of like Britney Spears and Shakira had a baby.
I feel like she sounds exactly like Taylor Swift.
Hmm.
And I like can't, I was like looking through different Taylor Swift songs trying to be like, which is the one she sounds like? And I kept going, no, this isn't it. Never mind. And then I listened to it again. I was like, no, this is Taylor Swift.
I don't
to the
hear
point
it.
That I
maybe a little bit.
I was like, oh, you know what Taylor Swift song it sounds like is that song White Houses, which is just another Vanessa Carlton song. But for my entire life, I thought it was Taylor Swift.
Oh my God, Demi.
But I, but she still sounds like Taylor Swift.
But the song you thought she sounded like is her own
I'm
song.
I'm aware, but I thought that was Taylor Swift because it sounds so much like Taylor Swift.
Man. Okay, what song? What Taylor Swift song?
Okay,
name
that's
one.
Not how the...
I think it's the one, We Were Both Young When
that
I
is
First
close.
Saw You.
There's a weird mix on that. I was
Romeo
gonna try
and
Juliet. Yeah, Love Story.
Yeah, Love Story.
There's a weird mix on it where it's like, it's not the same. She's singing this weird like, We Were Both. So it's not the same, but I'm like, it's such a close voice.
I'm gonna tell you what, throwing some shade, spilling the tea. Here we go. I don't think Taylor Swift can sing. I think Vanessa Carlton can sing.
I would like to remove myself from this conversation.
As so
someone
sorry.
Who does not want to draw the wrath of the
it's
Swifties.
It's my opinion!
Sure. Sure.
I
don't
like
agree.
That
I think they both sing. I think Vanessa Carlton
I didn't say they
better.
Sing. I didn't say she doesn't
she
sing.
She sings well.
I don't
she
know what
well.
Good or bad singing is. For most people, I'm just like, wow, that's the right note. I'm like, pretty good.
I would say it's a combination of pitch, tone, and range, and I don't feel strongly on either front. Either can you say either for three things?
No.
What would I say then?
All?
We need a word
all
for threes.
Fronts.
It's just all.
On either is front. I don't know.
Either is?
The breathiness I kind of hear, though.
Okay.
I said, kind of a little bit the same. But,
that sounds good.
Make my way. It's so
make
odd.
Make my way.
It's like the second it starts, you're like, oh, it's about to fucking pop off in these white girls' houses.
Yeah. That's the thing. I also, in my head here, as soon as I hear this, I hear two things. One is the, this fall on the W. And then I also just hear instantly cheers. I hear the sound of people going, yes, I love this song. Always. Just like a raucous crescendo yeah. of applause.
Well, you've seen white girls.
Yes, I've met, what?
The movie.
In the world.
White chicks.
Oh, no.
White chicks.
I thought you just meant, well, you've seen white girls in their natural habitat.
Hi,
you've been to a mall.
I am one. Welcome.
That's right. We met at a mall, your home.
I live in a Claire's.
And I need you.
Who?
And I miss you.
Who?
And now I wonder.
That was a baby. That was a baby that just said a wonder.
Now I wonder.
That yeah. was a baby.
Sure was.
So she told us, I'm going downtown, boys, and I miss you, and I need you.
It's such a disconnect from the previous thing that I think in listening to it, you're just kind of like, oh, are you still moving? What's happening?
Did she stop at a Starbucks because her feet hurt? Did she start remembering her ex-boyfriend?
Stop
I don't know.
About coffee. She needs coffee. I miss coffee. And now I wonder.
Now the whole song's about coffee.
Yeah.
I like that.
Good read.
What do you think it's supposed to be?
Like a chai latte.
The Oprah one?
Oh, do you mean, is there an Oprah chai latte?
Hell yeah!
Does everyone know about this?
I don't know, an Oprah?
Oprah
Wait, what?
Had like a chai latte at Starbucks.
It was
Oprah like...
chai latte.
That's
is that
just
one
what,
of her favorite things?
I think that's just when you order a chai latte for everyone in Starbucks.
I'm buying around, boys!
You get a latte, and you get a latte!
I want to know what... The segue was in her mind here.
I think it's supposed to be like, I'm just staring and just not paying attention because I'm thinking about you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And also she's doing like a universal mundane activity. She is walking through the streets, seeing people's faces, feeling alone, surrounded by other people.
She's making her way through.
She's making her way downtown.
Right.
Walking fast. And the faces pass. She is just like one of the many.
It's like a scene in Sex and the City.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh?
When they're walking on the sidewalk.
Oh, sure.
You know, as they do in that show.
And in a lot of shows. Okay.
I do like that I think this song actually is gender neutral.
Yeah. There's no him, her, he.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it could be any person or anything.
Vanessa Carlton is queer. It's canon now. You can just decide that for someone. I've decided she's gay.
Congrats, dude.
Thank you so much. It's a big day for me and Vanessa.
I think it could be coffee.
Oh, yeah. Also that.
my roommate thinks this song is about grief. and like death. And once we get to the chorus, I'm not inclined to disagree. I don't think he's right, but he could be right.
Is it weird that I've never once thought about it being like missing someone who's gone?
I
thought it
was just like so upbeat.
Yeah, I just thought breakup.
It's upbeat and it is romantic in some places, but then when you get to the chorus, it just changes things a little bit.
That lens gets super sad.
Yeah,
there's another crazy read of it. Making my way downtown. Is that like spiraling? Maybe.
Well, I think there's a line coming up that might support that theory.
Okay.
Pay attention.
If I could fall into the sky,
that was the one.
Do you think time went past me by?
That second layer. When the guitar comes in, that's where I'm like, okay,
yeah,
I'll enjoy
that is
this.
So good.
Those drums are like hard rock drums. Like he is smashing those cymbals.
It feels like they just had to be like, oh, we'll turn this down.
Right? If I could fall into the sky.
I don't know. I've never known what that entire part means. Do you think time would pass me by?
Dude, John's got it.
It's so enigmatic. And it's like, to me, it's almost like Shakespearean in scale because it's absolutely poetic, obviously not literal.
Sure.
And she's
unless this song takes place on a downtown spaceship.
Oh.
downtown spaceship.
Downtown Cloud City.
Yeah.
Great band name, Downtown Spaceship.
I love it. It does have cosmic implications. It's like such a big, large scale thing. And that's what I think. It's like she's expressing her emotions for this guy that she can't even put into reason.
Right. If I could just fall into the sky.
And I think it's like those two, if I could fall into the sky, do you think time would pass me by? Like those two lines will forever be analyzed by every like 16 to 19 year old.
Yep.
And also like pop historians for the rest of time. Like literally, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything.
I have two theories. I think one is that she's so in love and in longing that it's like an out of body experience, and it's like if I could just be suspended in the air, like I wouldn't be that dissimilar from mentally where I'm at now. Or your roommate's read into the sky being heaven,
right?
Someone's dead.
Do you think things would keep going on?
If I could just go visit you in heaven, do I have to die first? That's a pretty poetic read.
I feel like it is kind of like if I could go to heaven, do you think things would keep going on? Because, you know, I would walk as far as I could to see you, suggests that she would be walking to heaven.
That's like a cool Eric Clapton parody.
Walking to heaven?
Nah, maybe Eric Clapton meets Led Zeppelin. Combine the two themes of those songs.
Okay.
Ayo.
Stairway to Tears in Heaven.
Yeah, now it's sad. We wrecked it.
It wasn't sad before. It was very uplifting.
I also, just because I'm kind of a kooky lady, tried to figure out how long it would take to walk 1,000 miles.
That is fun.
Because she says tonight, which makes me think she thinks she could walk 1,000 miles in a day.
Real cocky, yeah. Vanessa.
Which maybe if you're on those airport like conveyor belts for people, what are those called? Moving sidewalks?
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
I think so.
Flat escalator? I don't know.
Forward-a-later?
Floor belt? I don't know.
Floor belt,
maybe,
yeah.
If you were on one of those the whole time, could you walk 1,000?
Well, you wouldn't be really walking 1,000 miles then. You'd be walking like 500, but you're going 1,000 miles.
And I could walk 500 more.
Right.
Yeah.
But according to my calculations, if you walk 25 miles a day, which is about 3 miles an hour if you walk for like 10 hours,
that's insane.
It would take you 40 days. And that's on flat ground with no, like, hiccups or breaks.
Yeah.
40 days?
40 days.
Like Jesus. In the desert.
Yeah.
Were you the son of a pastor?
I was.
The only one who could ever reach me.
Was the son of a pastor named John?
Yeah.
Sorry. Is that not how it goes?
No.
It is.
It is now.
Mm-hmm. Episode 2.
I appreciate the sentiment. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about what she was saying when I was a 13-year-old girl and this came out. Because I was literally 13 when this came out and a girl. I was the primo demographic for this song. And
this
was
written
like, yes.
For you.
It still feels that way.
Congratulations.
But it's so fun to sing. And also, bye and sky, the way she says both of them, she changes them to say more bye.
Pass
bye,
me
sky.
Bye.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She really takes some risks here.
Sky.
Sky. If I could fall. And she doesn't even say the L. Fall into the sky.
She wants it to be like an onomatopoeia. She's like, fall.
Fall. Into. And also, I'd like to pretend when I was a kid that she was saying this guy. You know what I'm saying?
You were a disgusting little child.
Wow.
Like
nasty little
sex.
Pervert.
It's crazy.
Miel, dollar in the fuck jar. That's disgusting. This is a children's podcast.
I'm so sorry to all of our children puncheries.
We have a new name for our audience every episode now.
Puncherinis.
Is that like dungarees? What is that?
I don't know. It just came to my head and I said it through my mouth.
Puncheries it is.
I'm so sorry. Tonight. Okay. And okay, oh. That's a pretty strong statement. She'd walk 1,000 miles. What is it with songs at 1,000 miles?
It's just a large number where it's like in dispute. If someone said 100 miles, I feel like a bunch of people are like, it's not really that far. It's like, this is really
so far. What's the farthest you ever walked at once?
Oh, like 2 miles?
Nah, come on. You've done like 6-mile hikes.
What? Oh, maybe.
Yeah. You did a fucking one we ripped your shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Tammy ripped his shorts on a hike. What's the farthest you ever walked?
It's probably the same.
Yeah.
Probably 6 miles.
I probably walked like 12 miles on a huge day.
Yeah, a day at Disneyland is like a 12-mile day.
Oh, that's true.
If you're going California Adventure and Disneyland, then yes, that's a 12-mile day.
Okay, that's a great metric to measure how far the furthest you've ever walked.
A Disneyland mile is a good, that's like a baker's dozen. I love that.
Yeah.
My point is, the average person is so impressed by even like 50 miles.
Yeah.
That's so many miles.
Here's what I'll say. What is like the threshold of number that she can use in this song before you're like, that seems like you didn't go far enough. If she said 100 miles, I'd be like, that's a little non-committal.
Okay, she could have said 69 miles and I would have been like, that's impressive and funny. She could have said 420 miles. I would have said, that's crazy, but funny.
That is, yeah. I would have laughed a lot because I'd be like, well, she smokes weed. That's
you
cool.
I'd walk 420 miles.
There's the problem. It also has to be short.
Yeah, 1,000. A dozen.
Why isn't a million miles?
A dozen miles.
Yeah.
You know, I would take exactly 2 hikes.
That's true love, though. If you hate hiking, you go hiking for somebody.
Yeah, sure.
If this song was about how much she hated hiking and then said she'd do it twice for a person, I'd be like, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, she's like, making my way downtown. My feet hurt. I hate this, but I'm homebound.
Ooh, do you think she's walking to their home?
She's walking to his home in downtown. She says, making my way downtown, but it's kind of an exaggeration because she's still 900 miles away.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. She's on the Pacific Crest Trail making her way downtown to Los Angeles from Seattle.
She's in New York and she's like, I'm going downtown. Dallas.
She doesn't tell us enough, but she simultaneously tells us too much.
Yeah. She's like, if I stare blankly ahead and do not pay attention to the faces, before I know it, I will be there.
I feel like if you did the Appalachian hike or something, this would be a great song to listen to while you were hiking.
Absolutely.
If you could not change it.
Yeah, just
yes.
Listen to it and be like, I would walk 1,000 miles, bitch. I'm doing it.
Uh-huh.
There's always times like these when I think of you and I wonder if you ever think of me. Is everything so wrong? I don't belong living in
violin.
Your precious memory.
Yes, the guitar. It doesn't fit in that part, but I love it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The guitar to me always sounds a little like Cruisin' USA.
It does. I feel like it's you're driving and there's a top down,
yeah,
and someone is standing in the back of the convertible playing guitar.
With Mad some Max?
Yes, like there were two people driving in the front. They're looking cool, and for a guitar solo, someone pops up and goes, "Wow, wow, wow, wow."
They just stand up only and then lay back down.
Exactly.
You can't see them unless
it's like,
they're
where
playing.
Where did they go?
No, they just hired this like very expensive, like world-renowned guitarist, and he has nothing to do. So they're like, "We'll give you this part."
Yeah,
it's actually Santana. No, I'm just kidding.
That
can
would
imagine?
Be very funny, especially if you're like, "I'm not going to mention this up front."
Yeah, I was like, "I'm going to tell you about Father Time," and I'm not going to mention Santana.
I do like imagining that Santana just like walks around a studio and it's just kind of like, if anyone's playing, I'm going to pop in there with my own amp and just play over their track. And I'd be like, Santana, you fucking get out of here.
You did it again, Santana.
Oh, can we mix that off the track? Nope.
Can we talk about how sexy she sounds just for the line, think of me? It's so, it's almost pornographic.
Think of me.
Yeah.
Vanessa.
That's
this is sexy.
It is
a sexy song.
A sexy song.
And she's playing the piano herself, and you're like, ooh, yeah. I love a girl that does it all.
Ooh, I love a girl who's dexterous with her fingers.
that, I mean, supports your queer theory.
In the most basic way, and I'll take it.
She's physically capable. That's half of it, am I right?
Kind of like a gay
That's how
lady.
Sexuality works.
Yeah, it's like, can you do it? It's kind of like when you sign for a telemarketing job and they're just like, can you do it?
I don't have experience with that.
Well, just no one does, but never mind.
But it's a known thing.
Never mind.
Times like these when I think of you, and I wonder if you ever think of me. So times like these when I'm walking downtown?
Yeah. Right.
When she is like, oh, I miss this person. I wonder if they're thinking of me too.
But times like these, I don't hear that phrase said often unless it's like a bad time.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like a revolution or something.
Times like these. Yeah. It was the best of time. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, where is she at in her life? There's absolutely no context.
None. She's walking downtown.
I think this whole song, it's the expression of an emotion. Like just a moment in time where she feels this way. And like to try and extract specificities is impossible.
Truly.
It's not specific. It's a diary entry.
It really
is. So circuitous and just focused on, I'm making my way downtown and I'm staring. And then to have the entire second verse just be like, you know, it's times like these. I feel like the only thing that we have to go on what is a time like this is her saying, I need you, I miss you. It's like, it's always times where I miss you when I think about you. I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's a little redundant.
Correct. All of this song feels very redundant if you look at the lyrics.
It's funny how it goes from just being like a description of what she's currently doing into like a heartbreak song in the same song.
Mm-hmm.
There's no segue.
And this verse also kind of removes the idea that it could be about grief, where it's like, I hope you think
of
me.
Yeah, this is it.
Well, unless she believes in the afterlife, and I guess you get to keep your same brain and miss people that are alive?
That's true.
I don't know how death works.
I mean, Vanessa seems to.
Did we hit that second half in this part?
Nope.
Everything.
The memory? Oh, we did. We did hear it.
Okay, so then, because everything's so wrong, and I don't belong living in your precious memory.
That's such a weird phrasing, because is the precious describing the person, or is it describing the memory?
Well, it would be a little arrogant to call a memory of yourself precious.
Sure.
Your precious memory.
But I think she's saying, I don't belong living as a memory for you.
Right. Like
I should
only
be
as
in
a
your
memory.
Life now.
Yes.
Right?
Do you think it's like that, or do you think it's like, I don't want you to remember me?
Yeah, there is something very condescending about calling someone's memory precious.
Yeah, like your cute little memories that you have.
It's like, oh, bless your heart, your precious memory.
Oh,
like,
this is my child. She's doing her little remembrances.
Nostalgia.
Oh, kids.
I don't know. And I also don't know why the fuck she just said everything's so wrong. That is dramatic, Vanessa.
Yeah.
She's a child. Everything's so wrong and I don't belong and I'm in the city and nobody's looking at me. That's it. I mean,
she said all those things.
To try and dig into it, I mean, literally, it's that she's just walking down the street. And that's what girls feel when they're like, whatever, I assume, when you're young and in love and you just got broken up with or whatever, and you're pining for this guy who's like, doesn't like you.
Right.
Well, then you feel like your whole world is collapsing around you.
Yeah, everything is so wrong because your everything is still very small.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's Michelle Branch.
No, I know. I just thought you said, I thought the song was everything to me. So I was like, oh, and then I started singing it. And I was like, well, no, that's everywhere. Never mind. Did you guys confuse Michelle Branch and Vanessa Carlton a lot? Because I sure did.
No.
Wow.
But I also, again, was a 13-year-old girl. So I was very aware of these artists.
Mm.
I will say, though, it might be a good time to take a little break.
Let's do it.
And we're back.
Welcome to the show.
So everything's still wrong. I'm long living in precious memory. Okay, we got it. Cool. So she's still sad.
Oh, your memories. I don't want you to have them. I still don't know what she's trying to say.
My best guess is I want to be with you now and not in your past.
Yes.
I want to be your future.
That seems like the best reading of it.
It also feels a little bit like bad wedding vows.
Hmm. Yeah. I will say, like, the phrasing of this is the most poetic that this song gets, in my opinion.
You haven't seen this bridge yet.
Well, I'm actually very curious as to what you're talking about. Shall we continue?
Let's do it. If I could
fall, oh, I just put this out because the instrumentation increases and the guitarist gets a full part now.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Goodbye.
I love it.
with a fake drum?
Is it fake?
They have a fake drum in here. After I Could Just See You, they kind of faded out. They did it a couple times. It's very weird.
Here, let me...
I can't understand why they would do that when they have a real drummer.
Oh my god, yeah!
It's like a rap track,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, it's so 2001.
It's like so weird! Yeah, I'm like, is this Incubus? What the fuck are we listening to?
Oh, god.
And also the way she sings See You. Do you guys notice that?
Say you.
Yeah. Say you. And my favorite part, personally, is how she comes back down into If I after if the 1,000 miles.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good.
I don't know why it's like so fun to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very theatrical.
Yeah.
1,000 miles if I can just...
Say you.
It's a performance of a lifetime, Vanessa.
I love it.
I also love the long bridge between See You and Tonight. Because it's like See You could very well be the end of the sentence. And then for her to come in and just go... Tonight is like, oh, it has to be tonight.
I think she wanted to humble brag about how fast she walks.
Yeah. You're not, that's not walking. You're running laps in a car.
Listen to that drum beat. That steel guitar. Wow. Oh my god, the fucking crescendo. I'm like, what's about to happen?
I love that cymbal roll.
You could tell that's like a legit drummer.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. That's why this song, I think this is why this song is a timeless classic, is because they use instruments.
Yeah.
Like, it's mostly instruments.
It's orchestral pop. It works so well.
Yeah, and it will just live on, like the music of the 70s lives on, because it's like... instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
If you listen to I Want It That Way, it doesn't sound so good anymore.
No. And kids
don't believe
can't.
You.
If you listen to the instrumentation, it's, you know. It was a sound that everyone did, and it turns out it wasn't a good sound. But we'll get there on another episode. I do love the strings on this.
Me too.
I wish I had just the strings to listen to.
I looked so hard for the stems, I couldn't find them. The instrumental is still very good and is on YouTube if you want to hear it, but like... just the hearing the part where it's like in the chorus where the violins come in, it feels like they come in on like the 1 and 3 while she's singing on the 2 and 4, and it's so good, like the way that it's mixed.
I wish I was more proficient with time signatures because there's some crazy shit happening here. I think the choruses are 3-4, and I think the verses are 4-4. But they also could be eighths. I don't really know what's going on in this song. It's insane.
I just assumed it was all 4-4, except for the bridge, which seems like just...
I can't even count it.
Huh.
I don't know what's happening here. I think they're borrowing a couple bars of like longer measures when they're not in the same time in the signature.
Now you
I don't
me.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about. What's a bar?
Okay, so
measures,
like, okay, so if it's
music.
Like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, you
yeah.
see what I'm saying? There's one that's different. Oh, you're kidding?
I was kidding, but also this is a good explanation because I do think sometimes we just jump into things like this and some people might be like, why, what?
Oh, sorry.
No, explain it.
I did.
Okay. Well, now you know.
And that's a show!
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
I think the time signature is the same throughout, but it's like the way the instruments hit and when they hit is what makes it feel like it's different time signature.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
But like, because it starts on a downbeat. It goes, da-dum, and the...
Count the. I want you to count the chorus, though, because I think the chorus is 3-4, and I think the verse is 4-4.
I could fall... into the sky. Do you think time will pass me?
Okay, so I just don't know how to count.
Yeah.
I just found that out.
I think it's all 4-4 time, but they do some crazy shit with like the beats and the drums and like when the piano comes in. So it just feels very original because it's doing a lot of like advanced stuff with the time signature.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's got me bewildered, and I don't use that word often.
You don't.
We didn't even discuss the lyrics of the bridge, bro.
Oh my god, what's wrong with us? We got so bogged up in that instrumentation.
I don't want to let you know. I drown in your memory. I don't want to let this go.
There's that memory talk.
Pretty
again.
Normal stuff, except the drown in your memory part.
Drown in your memory.
Drown.
Yeah, that's morbid.
To death.
Yeah.
Drown and die.
Wait, it's drown in your memory?
Yeah.
Ooh, wait, did you hear the doubling on that vocal?
Yeah, play again.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Ooh, it is drowned.
I don't want to let you know makes me think it's not someone that's dead. I think you're right about it being a young girl thing. I think she wants to tell this person that she likes them and she doesn't want to let them know because she's scared. No?
She doesn't. It's like, I don't want to let you know I drowned in your memory. If you want to take those as like one thing, it's like, I don't want to let you know how important you were to me.
Oh, a unit.
Maybe. Okay.
So then either drowning in your memory would mean that I'm in the past for you. I'm dying because I'm being forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Coco. Or it's like Minority Report.
Ooh, where she's got to stop. She has the memory and she has to stop his crime where he drowns her before he drowns her.
It was an implanted memory into the cog.
Do you think she's a precog and she's like, I don't want you to drown me in this giant cog pool because I have a memory of you doing that shit.
This song is to Agatha. I don't know why I remember so much.
I was like, who's Agatha?
She's the precog that has the memory.
Oh, it is. Goodbye, Crow.
It's the girl from Harlots, the British actress.
Samantha Morton.
Yes.
Yep.
God, I love that movie.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
We just pieced together so much of Minority Report.
It's a good
John, have
movie.
You ever seen Minority Report?
Yeah, I have. I don't remember the pre. I don't know any of that pre-cum stuff.
Pre-cum. Oh.
I hope there's a porn version in which that's the takeaway.
Oh my gosh. Holy
the pre-cums. The pre-cums having a vision.
It's almost definitely going to be like someone having sex with a bunch of black men and it's called Minority Rapport.
Jesus Christ.
Should we move on?
How did we get here?
I think we've made a very good point about how this should have been the theme song for Minority Report.
Definitely.
No. Making my way downtown, stopping crimes. I see them before they happen.
My kid was stolen, presumably dead, from a public swimming pool.
And I saw you, because you killed him.
Okay, let's move on. I'm so sorry.
If I could watch
no?
a future crime.
Faces pass and I'm homebound.
Oh, so reprise.
Woo! Yeah. That's the only thing that changes.
Yeah, because then she just does the I need you, I miss you. She does do a little changes. In the second reprise, she says, I'll need you and I'll miss you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third time, she says, I still need you and I still miss you.
I love that part.
I love when lyrics update themselves throughout the song.
I do, even when it's something simple, just as adding still, I'm like, yeah, shows time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then otherwise, it's just the hook again.
Mm-hmm.
Twice in a row, and she goes,
pretty good impression.
I love
Are
that.
You Vanessa?
Neither can confirm nor deny that at this time.
Ooh, I'm gonna move
Working
on.
Working on a comeback, bitch!
Oh my gosh.
She never left. How dare you?
Staring blankly ahead, just making a way through the crowd.
Ooh, no run on that one.
Just a slide. Crowd.
Yeah. Again, it doesn't it sound like a number from a musical?
It does.
Yeah.
But like a big number.
It feels like this is the song where everyone exits the stage and it's like Kristen Chenoweth just doing a ballad about how she really wants this one guy.
Yeah, it's like Wicked. She flies halfway through.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I could fly.
Yeah, she's like, if I can fall into the sky. And she just falls off the stage. And everyone goes, and then she floats up.
She didn't die.
We should write this.
Wicked?
No, well, you know.
But we should write Wicked. Yeah. And the last clip I have is just pretty much the end of this song.
Good, because I want to hear that band shred.
I was going to say, like, over time, it's just the band becoming more and more confident and, like, adding more layers, and I love that.
And I still need you. And I still miss you. And now I
Those high strings.
Bring it back down. Oh, you cut it, you little fuck.
I didn't mean to.
You little fucker.
I'm sorry.
Give me blue balls.
Well, you should have known that was going to happen. You have the precogs.
If I could fall into
Ooh, did you hear
wow.
that?
Echo.
Yeah, I did not hear that. Sorry, I'll start over.
If I could fall into the sky, do you think time would pass by? As you know, I
want What was that?
Siren?
It sounds like an alien sound. All right, I'm in.
This is a drop.
Do you think time would pass tonight.
Oh, the Strongs.
The Strongs. The strings are the standout part of this song.
They save it. They save the show.
They really do.
That's how you do a piano
song. I've changed my mind. It's good.
Ah!
It's good.
Yeah!
You're on board!
It's the end that makes it for sure, though, because when everything just starts building up, and then that little part where you even have the weird sounds that the... Like, okay, I want to hear that weird siren thing again.
Okay.
Do you think time would pass us by, and you know
Do you think time would pass us by alien abduction sound?
Time will pass us by while we're in space.
Yes.
Falling into the
Cosmic.
Sky.
Close encounters.
She was actually trying to write a sci-fi musical and everyone misunderstood. That's why she could get there 1,000 miles in a single night.
She should have had Tom Cruise attached first. That's how you do it. Dummy.
I think the production of the song is just so goddamn good.
It's great. Yeah.
And it does not surprise me to hear that this was like pretty labored over because it's delicate, man. This was a lot of work.
It's so intricate. It's jam-packed with like all these fun things for you to listen to.
I wish that the lyrics felt like as intricate as the instrumentation. And I know that's hard for any song to do because you only have one layer of lyrics.
Yeah.
But it just feels like so much of it is just saying the same thing over and over and then moving on to a different thing that's kind of adjacent but not really different and saying that over and over. And then, like, the bridge at the end is just being like, I don't want those things that I've been saying I don't want.
Yeah. It is pretty one note. Well, other than the make my way downtown, which we never get to know if she made her way downtown.
That's very true.
I would love if the song ended with, and I made my way downtown.
Which actually is a great transition into my punch-up.
Oh, God.
because what I did for this, I was going to sing over it. And then I was like, well, that's not a voice I can do well. I'm not going to try Michelle Branch. I'm not going to do it in my own register.
Vanessa Carlton.
Did I say Michelle Branch?
You did.
They're the same person in my head. I'm sorry. It's sexist. I'll never change.
Michelle Branch is guitar.
Is she?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Vanessa's piano.
Okay. Well, then I'm a Branch head now. I love Branch. We call ourselves Trees, the fans. But I was just kind of like, I want to use the same vocals. So I just sort of tried to switch it up and see if she can tell her own story.
Oh, my God.
Without me interfering.
Great.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound.
So far, so good.
Yeah,
I did a great job.
Thank you.
Staring blankly ahead, just making my way, I'm homebound. Not walking, not downtown. And now I'm making a way. If I could make my way downtown, do you think spaces would make them cry? Cause you know. Making my way homebound, walking home, making my way. Making my way, stem. Walking fast, not still walking. Now past my home. And now I'm making my way.
Don't tell me.
It's all I can make my way downtown. Do you think spaces would make them cry? And you know I make my way downtown. By
Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be.
Gimme.
Living in Beverly Hills.
Oh my God.
That's where she's been walking.
Wow.
When you sent me that Mac DeMarco clip today, and I was like, fuck.
makes so much sense now. Oh, the God. Song is seamless.
Yeah. She went past her house and all the way to Beverly Hills. So
that's why she had past to. Her house,
went uptown.
You have to go uptown to get to Beverly Hills.
Because in L.A. we call it uptown.
Yeah. Well, if you're in Santa Monica, it's uptown.
Oh, my God. I love how that one note was just so wrong.
There was one and that I'm was making like, my way.
Holy shit. And also that, like, you just kept not having words.
That's my favorite part.
Oh, God.
Staring.
I think maybe my favorite part, though, was fast. Holy shit.
Was that Bruno Mars uptown?
Sure was.
Yeah, baby.
He has two things you should know about Demi, is that he unapologetically loves making fun of Bruno Mars.
But I also love Bruno Mars.
He also respects Bruno Mars. Mm-hmm. It's a respect tease. And he will incorporate Weezer's Beverly Hills into everything he possibly can.
It's the funniest song. It's the funniest song.
Oh, brother. Oh, boy. I'm in pain from laughing so hard.
That was very funny.
Is it the laughter that caused you pain or hearing it?
Oh, I loved hearing that. I love a good punch-up like that, man.
Well, you're in luck because you can hear it again on the website.
That's right. All the punch-ups actually on the website if you don't want to listen to the actual episode.
Yeah, if you've gotten this far and you're like, I'd love to hear that and not anything else.
I don't want to hear their unpunchable jams. Fuck this.
Well, that's too bad. You're going to have to exit the show now because we're going to it.
You can't punch this.
Johnny boy,
yeah.
The pipes are calling. Also, what's your unpunchable jam?
Okay, I don't know if anybody's mentioned this on your podcast.
Let's find out.
But there's this song by this new artist called Yeba.
No.
Have you heard?
You're the first. I haven't heard. Yep.
I don't think I've heard of him either.
Oh my gosh. This, the best singer in the world.
Oh my God.
Her name is Yeba, and she released this single like a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, called Evergreen. That is astounding. And she's like, as a vocalist, truly, I think, unmatched right now.
So will you wait for me? Will you wait for me? Will you wait for me?
Oh my God, where is she from, did you say?
I don't know.
Is she American?
I don't know.
We
yes,
don't know.
She's American. She's American. She has like some YouTube videos of her covering like gospel music some places. I think she went to Belmont University, which is like a great university for singer-songwriters. And then she just comes out with this single. She was featured on a Sam Smith song just out of nowhere. And like she has no content. She has one song. This is her song. And then that's it. And she just releases this amazingly produced, like immaculately written and beautifully sung single. And I'm just like obsessed with it.
Oh
I listen
my God.
To it all the time.
I'm so excited to listen to it.
Yeah, you're gonna be floored. Like truly, I
love being on the floor.
Yeah, I can't bump it up enough.
She does.
Especially
she podcasts from there.
If you're like a music buff and a fan of like singers or like songwriting, anything, it checks all the marks. And you guys are gonna love it. You're gonna love
what
it.
What a treat!
Yeah,
oh, I'm so excited. That's such a good one. I love it when people bring in songs I genuinely have never heard of.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad nobody's brought it up.
Oh my God, I'm also so excited to have something so underground on our Unpunchable playlist because it makes us seem cool.
Yeah, you guys are already cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
You're Demi, so nice to lie.
What is yours, my bud?
So for my pick, I was listening to this song and I thought, what are other songs that came around in this time period that I loved? And then today I went to lunch with a friend of the show, Jill Gutowitz.
My love!
And
my baby Jill!
They kept playing ABBA. And it was just like nonstop, and there were kept being signs of the new movie. And then we were talking about how underrated the ABBA band A-Teens is. So my unpunchable jam this week is Upside Down by A-Teens. You guys remember that song?
Yeah. It was around the same time as like Bewitched. And
it came out the same year as this song.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. It is a genuinely great pop song. It's not ABBA related in the slightest. I don't know why they did it, but it is unpunchable. It's got some very rudimentary lyrics about how it's like, oh, I'm distracted in school, but I still am like, it's good.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't around the same time S Club 7 cover Dancing Queen?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that.
S Club 7 is the better A-Teens, which is why they got a TV show that I saw every episode of.
Oh my God, you did?
My family was big into S Club 7 because
what?
They were because
that's the weirdest sentence I've ever crazy. Heard.
I'm aware. I think it was because they were British. So my parents were like us. And I just was along for the ride.
Wow. So John had a dad pastor, mm-hmm. and you had an S Club 7 church.
Sure. I mean, they were both preachers in a way. My dad used to say, there ain't no party like an S Club party.
Okay.
He still does.
And my mother used to.
It never lands.
My mother will sometimes call me and say, don't forget, we are 2 in a million. We have all the love that we should be given. If the world should stop, we'll still have each other. But no matter what, we'll be forever as one. I think those are the lyrics. It doesn't matter. That's not the song I picked.
The great part about such a deep cut is no one could fact check you.
That's true. I dare you to Google it. But yes, Upside Down by A-Teens.
That's a great choice.
And your pick, Mio?
I want to pick a different girl.
Okay.
I was like, who's an artist right now that I feel like isn't getting regarded in the way I think she should be because people are like, oh, it's a girl thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I feel like Vanessa Carlton kind of got the similar thing.
For sure.
And that to me is Lizzo. And
she's great.
Right? Yeah. And the song right now that I'm obsessed with is Boys.
I like big boys, itty bitty boys, Mississippi boys, inner city boys. I like the pretty boys with the bow tie. Get your nails did, let it blow dry. I like a big beard, I like a clean face.
I still have not heard Boys.
Ooh! It's just...
That was a great Lizzo impression.
It's just fun. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's the kind of song that it's not so casual that you kind of forget it's on, but it's not so in your face that you have to pay attention to every single second.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of right in that sweet spot for me where you're like, oh, I love this part, but I also love this part, but I also love this part. Let me do my makeup. Okay, cool. And yeah. The video is amazing to boot. It's just, I'm so excited to see Lizzo blow up because I think she's perfect in every way.
She is.
Maybe overstatement. I don't know. If
a
she
friend
did
turned
bad,
me
I'll
on. No, I don't. I mean, I don't think she has. A friend turned me on to Water Me, which I still is like one of the songs that I'll go to when I'm like, I need a pump up song just right off the top of my playlist.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Her lyricism is outstanding. She's a terrific rapper. I love her.
She's so cool.
Yeah.
So shout out Lizzo.
Shout out Lizzo.
And Yeba.
Yeba. I Lizzo, don't know Lizzo. I'm
Yeba,
so sorry.
And that's okay. A-Teens.
That's the point of this segment. Shout out songs you know. And unless you're Demi, in which case I don't know why he shouted that out.
Because it's a song I know.
I'm just kidding.
Some of y'all children nowadays don't put enough respect on the A-Teens.
Yeah, the A-Teens, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out them too, just to be nice. John, I am just so grateful you did this. I'm sorry I screamed
so
many times.
No.
I probably hurt your perfect ears.
No. Oh, no. No.
Where can people find you on the internet?
If you want to find me, you can find me at youtube.com/paint, like spray paint, but without the spray. Or taint, but with a P.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's the better one.
That's
I'm going to go with
that now.
From now on. But yeah, or on Twitter. Well, you could find, if you find one thing, you find it all. If you like the person.
I will say, if you are a fan of this show, you will be a fan of John's. It's a good segue.
If you're into music, I mean, some of my stuff is, like, pretty musical, I guess. Yeah. And especially if you like Vanessa Carlton or, like, like poppy piano or, like, yeah. I think you, yeah, with the Venn diagram, it's got a big middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just thin little crescent moons on the outside.
Yeah.
If
baby
you
want to
follow
crescents.
The show, you can, too.
Punch Up the Jam on all networks.
Or if you have a suggestion, email it to us because, God, we will not see it anywhere else.
punchofthejam@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can go to the website, punchofthejam.com. That's it.
And again, we're trying to take a month off in September, so get used to that idea now.
Yeah. Get used to it.
And don't be mad at us when we do that.
Although if you are mad at us...
Scream at the moon.
Scream at the moon.
And don't say it out loud to anybody else.
Right. Make sure no one is around. And scream at the moon to your heart's content.
Bye!
Good night!
Okay, that was
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey.
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.